Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 21st. We survived 420. Oh, join us this morning from the city of Arcadia. It's not Karen Deemer. Did she have a scheduling conflict this morning?
She absolutely did have a scheduling conflict this morning.
A legit one?
A legitimate one, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
very legitimate.
At least that's okay. Yeah. David Loya is with us. He's in charge of community development, or economic development, as I prefer to think of it, for the city of Arcata. We'll be talking about things there, but before we do that, well, that's not a pleasant one. Our quote this morning, let's see. It's a profitable thing, if one is wise, to seem foolish. Gosh, do I qualify. Oh, boy.
You mind if I throw one out?
Knock your socks off.
So I've been thinking about this lately. I believe this was attributed to Gandhi. An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind.
Okay, hey. Yeah. That's not a reflection on last night's activities in Arkansas, right?
Absolutely not.
Okay. What is the biggest community misnomer about economic development for a community? It doesn't have to be Arcata specific, so you're not ratting anybody out. Economic development in our region.
The biggest community misnomer.
Yeah.
What are we getting wrong, or specifically, what are we calling it wrong?
Or what do we think should happen that can't happen, or should be happening, or?
You know, I think some of our biggest struggles, and I think that all folks working in economic development would acknowledge this, has to do with our capacity for shipping, number one, and the ability, as we were just discussing earlier, to get redundancy in our networking. I think those are really important issues, and there are systemic struggles that we have for those. And so while I do believe that we have to continue to work to get shipping that actually works for the kind of manufacturing that we do here, I do think it's a significant struggle.
It's not the market demand, it's the infrastructure that lacks.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, we don't have a large, if we had one large-scale shipper, for example, who, could attract a FedEx, a UPS, or, a Conway that would actually dedicate services to that one large-scale shipper, I think that a lot of the other manufacturers would fall in line. We've really tailored our manufacturing towards light manufacturing, small scale, and so we don't have that economy of scale yet.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned UPS or FedEx. There is a regional one that was just built in Brookings. Okay. Kind of like an outpost,
mm-hmm.
Perceptually, certainly.
Sure.
And I don't know FedEx from a hole in the wall, right? But I wonder if that's a distribution for southwestern Oregon or one for our region that Del Norte and Humboldt will benefit from also.
I think it largely depends on the the shipping north, obviously, since they're north.
Got that one. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to talk shop this morning with David Loya from the city of Arcata, economic guru. Ooh. Huh? When was the last time somebody called you a guru?
Yeah, well, I haven't been called one yet this week.
Oh. Whew. Made it in under the deadline, huh? David, as you look at the health and the vibrancy, and I don't want to focus just on Arcata. I know certainly that's going to be your frame of reference. But
sure.
You talk to the guys in the other cities and the special districts. What do you see as the untapped? What is the thing around here that you see as the big window of opportunity that's open that nobody's jumping through right now?
Well, you know, I think we still have a lot of strength, potential in high-tech industry. Again, as we mentioned before, if we can get real reliable internet connectivity. You know, and the reason I say that is because I don't think we have something to take away from the Silicon Valley, but I do think that we have, in quality of life, a lot more to offer than the Silicon Valley. You know, and that's why people move here. That's why people relocate here. That's why HSU grads decide to stay here. And so I think, you know, really it is quality of life. We have huge potential within our tourism industry. I mean, you know, I think once you live here for a couple of years, you tend to forget that the redwoods that we live in and amongst, people come from all over the world to see these things. And so it's sort of like, one of the national treasures. So I do think there's a lot of tourism potential in there. You know, I also think that, I was talking with some of the HSU administration the other day, and we were kind of musing over how you can't go anywhere in Humboldt County without tripping over an HSU grad. The stats for education.
Man, I was with you right up to you said tripping over another off mic conversation we had. Yeah, okay. Let's go with the grad. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a highly educated population around here, a highly skilled population, and I think that tapping into that and providing the opportunities for innovation around those folks and letting them really guide where businesses are going to go is an important role that that the jurisdictions can have, trying to make sure that environment is there.
It's funny because when I talk with my buds in the business community, they can't find people who are willing to show up for work, pass the P test, understand that work is not somewhere that provides you a shelter. Work is actually a place where you have to produce something.
Mm-hmm.
That
there is a
kind of an interesting
disconnect.
Yeah, and a lot of head scratching going on, wondering, okay, why isn't one transferring well to the other?
Right.
Or vice versa. I was listening last night to Jim Bohannon, and he was talking about a town in Pennsylvania, the Ohio-Pennsylvania border, and the coal disappeared, consolidation had happened, things were changing, and guys that were being paid at one level, because those businesses are gone, it's lots of parallels where we are.
Absolutely.
Are now in either visitor serving, low compensation jobs. They're still there because they love the area.
Sure.
But they're struggling because the businesses that are there have no, feel no compunction to support the community financially. The managers and the general manager, the senior guys, the owners, that kind of folks that used to be there are now out of area, and they don't care. You know, I mean, you can look at it. You know, there's lots of different examples here of businesses that are still here, but there's not a here.
Right. Yeah, I do think there's a large disconnect. Many of the people looking for work say they can't find jobs. Many of the employers, the business owners, say they can't find employees. And so there's clearly a disconnect there. I don't know how much of it is you had mentioned folks feel like they should just be able to show up whenever and not have to work and produce to earn a wage. You know, I don't know.
The entitlement.
The entitlement. I don't know how much of that is real and how much of it is described and or how much of it is really a cultural difference between folks in our generation and the millennials who have really a different set of priorities. And I think recognizing about your workforce is also kind of a key to getting the most out of your employees, recognizing where they're at and meeting them where they're at. I think things have really shifted in that realm.
Well, and the large corporate model has changed too.
It
you
has.
Know, in the past, you go back a couple of decades, say. Okay, the pennies, I'll use them because they're not around.
Mm-hmm.
When they were here and the manager was here, he ran it like his own store.
Sure.
And had authority like it was his own store. Now you got somebody barely over minimum wage that has the title of assistant manager, and they can hire and fire, but their discretionary purchase is about $20 a month.
Right.
Well, that's not quite the same thing, you know, particularly when it comes to things like Little League sponsorships and some of the real small little things that are part of what makes a community, mm-hmm. those guys are now out of the equation entirely.
To some extent. I mean, I think we still have a really strong core of local business owners. I mean, you know, getting back to this, the quality of life, people have settled here and, you know, they call it the Humboldt Shuffle is where you start out, right? Where you're just kind of doing whatever you can to make ends meet and get by, stitching together part-time jobs and maybe making your own go of it. And many of those folks have really, you know, taken off and they've grown significant businesses here. You know, in Arcata, you know, I think of, you know, Coca-Tat. You know, I think of, you know, Wing, which is, you know, just booming right now.
Yeah.
But they started small.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from David Loya.
What do we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with David Loya from the city of Arcata. Talk Shop presented by Redek and by CDH Painting. David, you tapped on something earlier in the show, and I didn't comment on it then. And you know, if you want to be fearful of this. We have a common thought.
I think we have a probably a lot of common.
Yeah, okay, now that's frightening for me. Good, we're even then. We have got this quality of life that everybody purports, okay? I mean, to me, it's normal,
mm-hmm.
or was normal, I guess. And the other guys are just missing the boat, okay? And others come here, and they go, wow, mm-hmm. and they see it. So if, in fact, Silicon Valley is based on quality of life, and that's why they located on the peninsula, and okay, why are they still there? The smog, the congestion, the crime, all that kind of stuff. If they came here and, let's say, some budding bureaucrat had an old mill site and said, you know, hey, we've got a site here. We got warehouses here. We can plug you in and get you going. And if you want quality of life, try going to work in the middle of a Redwood Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Try having a five-minute commute where you are waving to everybody because you know who they are. Try et cetera, et cetera. Would that message be received down there? Could we deliver on that promise?
You know, I think we could, but obviously it's a double-edged sword. I mean, the thing that's keeping people there is, you know, clearly money. And, you know, the reason why those of us who have settled here, part of the reason why there is such a quality of life is because you don't have that same population base. You know, I'm one of the transplants. I came up here from L.A., and there's lots of things I love about L.A. When I go down there to visit family, though, you know, I can't wait to get back here.
How many days?
Three, you're counting.
That's for me. It's 3 days, and the itch is there, and
three,
gotta get home.
You know, and there's lots of wonderful things to do down there that you just can't get here. You know, there's no question about that. But I think, you know, the isolation, the, you know, the natural beauty, the kinds of things that people are coming here to see when they do come through for tourism, you know, that's what keeps us here. I think you're going to certainly be able to attract certain businesses. I know some high-tech businesses that work around here, and they still maintain an address in Silicon Valley because that's how you stay relevant in that industry.
How about a branch office? A branch, I guess campus is the phrase, okay? So, you know, they're not going to pick up and move here. I mean, it'd be crazy. But the expansion cost to come here, I would think, particularly if it's all gray matter.
Sure.
It's not like they're making something and have to deliver that way.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Well, I totally agree with you. And, you know, what I'm secretly working on is to attract Google to the Happy Valley, which is one of our old mill sites, one of our old log decks. I think it's a wonderful place for Google to relocate its main offices or maybe a branch campus.
Instead of like Petaluma?
Instead of Petaluma. Why go to Petaluma when you can come to Arcata?
Yeah, why Caulfield?
Yeah.
The one that I see is just sitting there, and I hope I'm not stepping on Gary or Neil, is the Big Lagoon mill site. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine somebody having that kind of an industry there? So they could be there, nobody's going to know other than the lights are going to be on, but okay, fine. They were with the mill also.
Sure.
Being right on the lagoon, right next to the ocean, in a spot that's all set up for it, has the infrastructure in place. Or the one out here between Eureka and Arcata, the old Arcata Redwood, I don't know what it's referred to now as. Mm-hmm. Those are things that just can't enter into their equation down there because they just don't exist.
Right.
They would seem to be magnets for somebody if they knew about them.
And I think they are to some extent. I mean, some of the, you know, high-tech folks that are working around here, those are exactly the kinds of things they cite as the reason why they stay here, you know. So,
is it a fool's errand chasing that, though?
You know, I think if you spent a lot of energy chasing that at this point, yeah, it probably is. I think that if you connect with the right people and you bring in one small business after the other, you know, that's a strategy. But I think that, you know, still those businesses that I know of, I mean, they got here the same way that I did. You know, they came by it honestly. There's no economic development whiz out there who's really attracting Google or Intel or some of these high-tech companies. It's, you know, people came by it honestly. They moved here for one reason or another, temporarily, HSU, or were passing through, and they've, you know, it's stuck with them, so they've stuck with it.
Passing through, slide trapped them, had to spend a couple extra weeks here.
That's right.
Yeah, you have your strategies, we have ours. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with David Loya. So what else is out there that's got you excited right now?
Well, you know, the work that we're doing right now in the city of Arcata, planning for the Happy Valley that I'd mentioned earlier, is really actually an exciting project we're working on.
Okay, for those that are Penn State fans, Happy Valley isn't quite the same Happy Valley.
It is not.
Where are you talking about?
Where I'm talking about is a approximately 20-acre log deck that's off of West End Road. It's kind of tucked away behind the businesses that are right on West End Road, and then there's a pond structure, and then behind that there's three log decks totaling about 20 acres. It's actually located in a sort of centrally located for both trail networks and those businesses. And what we've sort of envisioned is doing a business park out there akin to what we did in the Alder Grove Industrial Park about 20 years ago, and subdividing, selling those parcels to businesses that want to grow and develop here. But also taking that that entire area and transforming it so that you have more human scale development, places for people to walk, recreate, and you know, and be when they're actually out there working as well.
Can we afford that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right now we're in the planning phases of it. You know, as many of your listeners probably know, the governor eliminated redevelopment, which was really a strong economic development tool for the region.
Actually, evisceration is the word I've been using. Yeah, eliminate somewhat. Sounds too formal. And
it kind of does. To some extent, it does feel that way to those of us who worked in redevelopment agencies previously. And, you know, not you know, commenting on whether that was a bad or a good thing, you know, for us locally, it was, you know, in Arcata, it was certainly a, you know, punctuation mark in our economic development history. But the city is actually in a pretty good position with respect to that. We do have some bond proceeds left over from the bond issuance that we had made. We do plan to use those bond funds to carry out some of the economic development programs that we had set out to do with the agency previously. And so I do think that we do have the money the potential to invest in that area to really grow it like we did the Alder Grove Industrial Park, but better. The strategy that the city has also is that we don't just take those funds and dump them into a project and then they're gone. We have a revolving strategy. Try and manage those funds as if they were the only funds we have left, in part because they are. And so we use them to leverage other outside funds, whether they're grant funds or businesses that want to invest. We participate with them and have a revolving strategy so that we can reinvest those funds elsewhere later. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I'm really excited about in terms of economic development that the city's doing right now.
Is there demand?
I definitely think there's demand. You know, as you're aware, the West End Road, that Alder Grove Industrial Park, it is growing, you know, somewhat literally. It's the city's marijuana innovation zone. And so many of those businesses are sort of picking up where the logging industry, the trucking is down. Some of the large scale, bigger industry type businesses that were out there.
Yeah, Costa and some of those guys that aren't.
They're scaling down and transitioning. And so, you know, some of those businesses that are coming in, and I know that there's talk as to whether or not this is going to be a boom-bust cycle. Sort of the way I look at it is that, you know, if there's a boom cycle, if you catch it on the upswing, that's not a bad thing. And so we may have those investments, but we also have other businesses that are interested in locating there. And this is a long-term project. We're not talking about developing out that 20 acres, you know, in the next couple of years. The Alder Grove Industrial Park was a 20-year investment. I see this as being a 10 or 15-year investment.
So it's not going to be tarmac and then buildings starting to sprout up. It's going to be done phase push-outs.
Phase yeah. push-out, yeah, absolutely.
Cool, cool. You know, I like you as much as Karen.
Karen likes me quite well, too. I
think. Yeah, oh, gee, everybody likes you. Okay, thanks for coming by, David. See everybody Monday.